What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Lynn.
Thanks, Sedano. All right, so California public school students may no longer be able to grab some of their favorite snacks. That's because Flamin' Hot Cheetos, Doritos, and Takis might soon disappear from the shelves of some of the state's schools if Assembly Maker Jesse Gabriel gets his way. He's pushing a new bill that would ban public schools from offering any snacks that contain certain additives, such as food dyes like Red 40, Yellow 6, and others that are commonly found in chip brands. You know, Takis is how you say it? Takis? It's recently been in the news as gastrointestinal doctors have called out the chips for causing upset stomachs and inflammation when consumed in excess, which, you know, that's what kids do. They eat Takis and Hot Cheetos in excess. But, yeah, you might not be able to buy them anymore in school.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now.
There's going to be a whole black market developing for Takis at, like, middle and high schools.
Maybe so.
You got some Takis for me?
Yeah. Come on, get them on the low.
Yo, you got a bag of them Flamin' Hot Cheetos for me?
Meet me at outside after eighth period.
Hey, you got the money? Yeah, you got the stuff? Yeah. Yeah, let's meet. I'll meet you in the playground.
You got the regular or the lemon lime ones?
And then you're going to get caught because your fingers are red?
I'm going to tell you something right now.
I actually
think this is a good idea. Now, I do feel like legislators often should have things that are more important to deal with, but we're talking about the health of the youth of America. And these Flamin' Hot Cheetos, they look away, they taste away, and they leave this residue on your hands that when you eat them, you go, what am I putting in my body? And I actually think this is quite a good idea. Ban those things, man. Keep them out of schools. And while we're at it, since I'm complaining about this, you know, we need healthier snacks at 7:10, I think.
I agree.
I think we need, like, protein bars and, like, I don't know, things that are healthier. Like, we got a bunch of snacks that are available, candy bars and garbage. Come on, let's
I always give in. We need, like, Luna bars and, you know, something like that.
Let's clean it up in the
bars.
Office.
You got to be careful with those bars, too. They have plenty of sugar and stuff, too.
So. They make sugar-free versions.
What's worse, a Snicker bar or, like, you know?
Oh, no, I agree, but I'm just saying, like, it's not that much better. Just because it has protein in it doesn't mean it's actually good for you.
Good old granola bars.
Maybe we could find some sort of healthier snacks.
Those pistachios are delicious that they have.
Those pistachios are good. What was that other thing that we had the other day, that bag of nuts that had, like,
trail mix.
Nah, but it was like a trail mix, but it had like those little caramel.
We had little peanut butter like chips in it. Yes.
Boy, those things were good.
Yeah.
Those were real good. I do like a nice trail mix. DeAndre, you like a nice trail mix?
I do like trail mix, actually. I always get a bag from Trader Joe's.
I know. You got me into it now. I get the almonds, the peanuts, those little M&Ms that aren't branded M&Ms.
Raisins.
Yeah, raisins. Those are good, too. Those will spike your blood sugar nice.
That's what I'm talking about, Kat.
Hell yeah.
Wasn't it George that was like turned everyone on to the Trader Joe's trail mix, or was that a different snack?
No, it was the Trader Joe's summer chips.
Oh, okay.
George has turned me on to these like protein Doritos. Okay,
the Quest chips.
Those are fire. Now you see. Now if we had Quest chips in school, those would be better than Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Because Flamin' Hot Cheetos means, excuse me, teacher, can I get a pass for the bathroom? Because I just had Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and now I'm flaming hot. You know where.
Right, in your duty.
Just so you know, Cap, I have a lot of those Quest chips. Like, I have them in my desk drawer. Remember, I have all the keto snacks. I kind of fell off the keto thing for a while, but I'm getting back on because I need to be more healthy. But, yeah, I got the Quest chips.
Okay, I'm getting into Quest chips now.
Do you think LeBron pulled over to get, like, some healthy food or junk food when he was driving last night at 1 in the morning after the loss to the Kings?
Can you explain to me how, when LeBron was driving last night and he posted this video on Twitter.
Yeah, he was listening to Lose Control by Silk.
Can you explain to me, was he wearing a GoPro? Was he wearing those like Ray-Ban sunglasses that have the little camera in them?
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet he was because.
Maybe.
DeAndre's point, he's wearing gloves? While
Dude,
he's driving?
Driving gloves.
Yeah, but why? Is he worried about getting calluses on his hands from his Bentley steering wheel? I mean, come on.
What was he driving? Like, which car was it? Could you guys tell?
I couldn't tell. But you mean to tell me LeBron needs to be wearing driving gloves? Really?
My question is, what does he mean? Like, what does it mean? LeBron is so, like, everything has a meaning. What does it mean?
He's losing control because they keep losing to good teams?
Or that's what I thought. Or maybe does he think that Coach Hamon is losing control of the team?
I don't know.
There's a lot of I'm sorry's in this song. Like, I'm sorry, Coach Hamon.
Yeah.
This isn't going to last much longer.
Yeah. I was just curious. I don't even know what that means, but I like that Josiah Johnson, who's like a really funny person on the internet.
That's a good way to describe him.
Now he's also a podcaster. But he started off as like hilariously funny person on the internet. His dad, though, played in the NBA, so there's that.
Yeah, he used to work at Yahoo with me when I worked there. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's fun.
Yeah, his dad is Marcus Johnson. But so he actually, he posted a video that this is LeBron driving at 1 a.m., and it was the Rocky IV video when, you know, Apollo dies and Rocky's, you know, riding off, and Adrian tells, he tells Adrian that he's going to go to Russia to fight Drago, and she gives him the, "You can't win!" And he drives off.
What song was he listening to in the car? I mean, you know, listen.
Well, no, there was that song was "There Was No Easy Way Out."
Oh, there's no easy way out.
There's no shortcut home.
Oh yeah, right.
There it is.
So that's Rocky. Rocky. Hey, listen, I got to get out. I got to clear my head. I got to go for a drive.
Right.
I got to turn on the tunes.
Yeah.
You know, this song means something in this scene of Rocky.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yep. Just the same way this song means something in this particular scene of Rocky IV, okay? When LeBron is driving down the street.
You didn't hit the post.
Oh, I didn't hit the post. When LeBron is driving down the road, rocking his driving gloves, because again, I got to protect my hands because, you know, the really nice steering wheel on my Bentley or my Ferrari or my Lambo or whatever I'm driving tonight, I mean, I don't want to take the chance of hurting my hands because the steering wheel is a piece of crap. I got to wear driving gloves. When he's listening to this song, Lose Control by Silk, what is my man saying? Because he's producing content. And he's always trying to send a message.
I don't know what he's saying, but he's clearly saying something. I'd have to think about it for a minute, you know?
Well, you know, maybe you should look at the lyrics.
I've been thinking all day, and I hadn't really come up with anything yet.
Well, here, I'll read you some of the lyrics. Let me be the one you need. Want to be the one for you, girl. Baby, just come to me. Ooh, just come on. On. Mmm.
I think maybe it's more the name of the song. That's what I think. But between that, remember his tweet a couple weeks ago with just the one singular emoji? What was it?
The time capsule?
Yeah, the hourglass. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, he's so calculated. Then, he means something.
The steam
something's
room.
Up. Yeah, something's up. I just can't figure out exactly what it is. I think he's just annoyed that they lost.
I mean, I'm trying to think of these lyrics. I want to feel your body.
I don't know. I think you're looking too deep. I don't think that.
You are.
Yeah. I think you're going
too deep.
How
about this? Listen to this line. Baby, why don't you just let me kiss you down?
Cappy, come on. Cappy,
what do you mean, come on? These are the lyrics of the song.
Cappy, you
right,
freak,
but I think,
man.
To Lindsay's point, I think it's more about the title of the song. If there's even any connotation to the song, I think he maybe just wanted people to see that he was trying to clear his head driving.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel like the song matters, and he knows that. Because
maybe it doesn't. I don't
people
know.
Are going to freak out either way. He knows that it's content for like the whole world, everyone.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines.
Right. It's possible.
Flip you, girl, from left to right.
Stop, Cappy.
What is wrong with you?
I didn't write the song. Silk wrote the song.
I mean, this team, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. I mean, it's looking more and more like, even if they get out of this play-in, dude, it's Denver. And you're like, all right, that'll be it. It's nice knowing you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 8 straight losses against them. What are you going to do now? All of a sudden beat them 4 out of 7?
Wendy had a very good way of, like, explaining, like, what the Lakers have to, like, pray for. And I just think it's interesting how, you know, like, the Lakers say that it doesn't matter what seed they are. It doesn't matter how they finish.
Oh, it definitely does.
But it totally does.
Oh, no question about it.
Here, let me play what Wendy said.
Your hope as a Lakers fan is that you can get into a playoff series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a team that you've beaten 3 out of 4 times. You like that matchup. Your size works against you. Your experience works against you. The Lakers would have a fighting chance in that situation. But
they're
guess what?
Good.
The Nuggets have basically been the league's best team since the All-Star break. They took over the number one seed last night. And the projections that I'm looking at and just with the eye test say they're going to get the number one seed. They have far and away the easier schedule between them, the Wolves, and the Thunder coming in. The Wolves don't have Karl Towns. I think the Nuggets, who are killers at home and want home court throughout the West playoffs, I think they're getting the one. So I think the Lakers are facing fighting with the Warriors for home court in the 9-10, praying that the Kings aren't in the 7-8 so that they don't have to potentially see them in the next round, and then potentially facing a rematch with a team that they also can't beat, which is the Denver Nuggets.
He ain't wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I mean, listen, all he's really saying is they're not going anywhere.
Correct.
I mean, that's really what he's saying. They can't beat the Nuggets. They can't beat the Kings. They have to hope that they could maybe see Oklahoma City because they could at least feel confident that Oklahoma City's a younger team that's on the rise. And they've kind of beaten up on them this year after getting smoked by them last year. But, I mean, Wendy's looking out into the windy crystal ball going, this Laker team ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, it's not looking good, that's for sure. And by the way, D'Angelo Russell did not look good yesterday, especially off the heels of what I would say was a very good Dave McMiniman story on ESPN.com and the ESPN app that highlighted a lot of interesting quotes from D'Angelo Russell about his second stint with the Lakers. We'll get into some of that and what Darvin Ham told me about his relationship with D'Angelo Russell, which was highlighted in said piece. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, Cappy, I know people love the chisme. But first, tell them how much you love Subaru first.
Well, first I want to say thank you to Subaru because this past Saturday when we were at the Best Friends Animal Adoption Center in Santa Monica, that was a really terrific event and proud to be a part of it. But now I want to talk to you about what Subaru has going on, and what they have going on right now are great new lease offers on the 2024 Forester, which is going on now, and today is March 14th, Pi Day, through April 1st during the Subaru A Lot to Love sales event. So if you're interested in the Forester, which is a beautiful, beautiful Subaru, or perhaps you're still interested in that Solterra, the first ever Subaru SUV that is electric, there are incredible new lease offers on the Solterra and on the Forester now through April 1st with the Subaru A Lot to Love sales event. Now, as far as this Forester goes, I would direct you to Subaru.com so that you can check it out yourself. This past weekend when we were at Best Friends, they brought out one of these new 2024 Outbacks. Those are amazing. But I'll just say this, as far as the Forester is concerned, it's versatile, it's rugged, it's capable, it's got all the advanced Subaru safety, and it is a really, really great investment for you and your family with long-lasting, unmatchable, I'm talking Subaru unmatchable quality, and as always, that standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, so that if you want to take your Subaru off-road, you can do it safely and with confidence. So check it out. Don't miss this opportunity right now for the legendary Subaru 2024 Forester, and these new lease specials are going on until April 1st with the A Lot to Love sales event. Love, it is what makes Subaru a Subaru.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, congrats to Anthony Provencio from Whittier. He won the tickets to the Keep the Party Going concert, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett, for one night only at the Hollywood Bowl on April 11th, featuring performances by Paul McCartney, the Eagles, John Bon Jovi, Zach Brown, Jackson Brown, Brandi Carla, Kenny Chesney, Eric Church, Sheryl Crow, and Pitbull and more, okay? Plus plenty of other special guests. Tickets are on sale this Friday, March 15th at 10 a.m., at Ticketmaster.com. Congratulations again to Anthony. Thank you for listening.
That ain't going to last long.
What's
those tickets? Those tickets are going to sell out in a matter of seconds.
Oh. Yeah, so you better get on it.
I mean, you put Paul McCartney and Pitbull together, forget about it.
Yeah. So you better get on it. You said you wanted to go, so you
I do
want to
go.
Out
I just don't
want to
buy
King
tickets.
Status.
You know the story.
Yeah, zero chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Tickets.
You better figure out your Hey King status.
Well, I know. I got to find out who in the other side of the building is running this operation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. because you always want stuff for free. So
I'll tell you this right now. There are a lot of people in the circle of trust this afternoon that are asking if I'm driving the bus to Terminal H. And listen, I don't know that I'm driving the bus to Terminal H, but I'll just say this, George. For all the talk about AD today and, you know, your whole thing about when he plays against guys like Jokic or Nurkic or Sabonis, that when they lower his shoulder and put it to his chest and take him to the rim, you know, people on the circle of trust are saying that means he's soft. That means AD's soft. Now, I haven't heard that in a long time. I mean, a couple of years ago when AD was hurt all the time, I heard people saying that AD's soft. I've not heard people say AD's soft in a really, really long time. But what people are hearing you say, that he can't handle these bigger, stronger guys and they're just lowering his shoulder and putting it to his chest and he's being backed down. George, there's some people getting ready to go to Terminal H today.
Well, I don't. I think there are like degrees to this. Just because you're saying a guy can put it in his chest and overpower him doesn't mean he's soft. It just means the other guy's stronger. That happens sometimes. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, does that mean like you can still try to body the guy? If you're not trying, then that would be soft. But he's trying. Like, it's none other than the other guy is stronger than him. And by the way, particularly Sabonis and Joker, incredibly skilled too. Like, it's not like they're just these powerful guys. I mean, Nurkic is probably the least skilled of all of them by a wide margin. But he's, huge. So he uses his power game because he doesn't really have, he doesn't have the skill that the other two have. But, yeah, I don't think that that means he's soft. I just think that it means the other two guys are stronger than him.
Okay, well, so, I'm going to have to nominate then, and he's probably not going to be happy about this. Unless
Big E, get
wants.
Your ass to Terminal H.
Yeah, Big E, I guess you're on Bus H.
Go, you can smoke a big fatty, too, while you're going down there.
Let's see. Jorge says AD has trouble when guys take it to your chest. That means he's soft. Big E, welcome. You're on your way to Terminal H, my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I said,
yeah.
Who I started the show today. Who's got the guts to tell Sedano that his boy is not getting it done and can't get it done against these bigger, stronger guys that he's going to see every single year?
How about you have the guts?
Well, I'm just pushing other people into you. That's all. Oh, I'm just standing in the back, just pushing people right into you.
Right. Yeah, I see.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm like the guy who was sitting next to you last night at the scorer's table, who took your bag, moved your chair, moved your screen. That guy got balls, all right? But I was like the kind of guy that's just pushing him. And, hey, see that guy Sedano over there? He doesn't need that chair. Take his bag. Move his bag. Hey, you see that guy Sedano? He don't need that screen. Move that screen. He don't need that. Kick his freaking ass, man.
That guy was so annoying.
God, I wish you would have taken
fact
a picture.
Trying to like explain himself away was even worse.
What, I just wish you would have taken a picture of his name.
Yeah, I want to say, like, what do you know, like, what outlet he was with or anything? Or like,
no, he was the stats guy for the Lakers, but they hire local people. I don't know who that is.
I got you. So
well, why don't
like
you ask the
stringer.
Lakers? Why don't you ask the Lakers? Yo, who'd you hire last
Who
night?
Who did you guys
stats?
Hire? Right, that guy, pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, not just a pain in the ass. He's somebody that you need to see in a dark alley somewhere.
What?
Well, not the dark alley. Yeah. Not the dark alley.
Yeah, the dark alley. Big D. Big D. Big D. Yes, the dark alley. Because George got them karate paws.
All right. Well, listen. We'll get to the D'Angelo Russell story. I guess at 6 because we're running out of time here, and we want to try at least have some semblance of clock management here.
Why now?
So he because I said so. Yeah. No, hold on, man. No manches.
Oh, it's great.
Good Lord.
Because
we have Blake at 5:45, and I don't want to have Blake literally come on for 3 minutes. So how about that, too? And
that's
I want
reason.
Lindsay to have a full radio Tinder. So let's do all that.
All good reasons.
Okay, there
it's
you go.
While.
But first, let me tell you about my friends at Children's Dental Fun Zone. If you're a parent, listen, you all want the best for your kids, right? Of course you do. So choosing a dentist can be challenging. And someone that your child's going to trust and enjoy going to when they go to the dentist, all right? Not an easy combination, but I got it for you. Trust me when I tell you, David 100, speaking of the Circle of Trust, takes his kids to the Children's Dental Fun Zone. They've got 17 locations across the Southland, so you should as well. I'm going to tell you about my friends at Children's Dental Fun Zone. I already mentioned 17 locations across Southern California to choose from. Children's Dental Fun Zone specializes in children's dentistry and orthodontics with state-of-the-art equipment and personal attention that your children deserve, okay? it's not easy to get kids to love to go to the dentist. But these kids that go to Children's Dental Fun Zone, they absolutely love going to the dentist. And you'll see why when you go. Children's Dental Fun Zone offers movies, iPads, and toys for your kids to play with. And for the parents, of course, this is more your thing. The kids don't have to deal with this part, but you do. They accept Medi-Cal, PPO, and HMO insurance plans. So to book your child's next appointment and have some fun at the dentist for a change, go to cdfzone.com, Children's Dental Fun Zone. The website is cdfzone.com or call them at 800-717-KIDS. That's 800-717-KIDS.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Cassandra, swing.
If she were president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly.
It's my favorite movie. I love it.
Really?
Well, that I would say it's a three-way tie between that, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and Willy Wonka.
The original Willy Wonka?
Yes, talking, of course. Not, okay. And then no, none of that new nonsense.
Not one of those Johnny Depp kind of deals?
Mm-mm.
Johnny Depp junts?
Yeah, I never even watched that one.
No, not a Johnny Depp junt. The original. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. What's his name, the actor?
Gene Wilder?
Gene Wilder.
He's amazing.
Gene, I got that. I was going Hackman or something after Wilder.
Hackman?
Brilliant.
I know, I couldn't get Wilder. Gene Hackman playing Willy Wonka would have been pretty interesting to see, that's for sure.
I thought Gene Hackman was originally going to play Augustus Gloop, but they went with that kid.
Although, you know, people forget Gene Hackman was Lex Luthor. So, like, you know, and that was a colorful character back in the day.
The best is when they're interviewing, you know, and they get the golden tickets, and they're interviewing Augustus Gloop's dad, and he sticks the microphone, and he's like, "Your son just found a golden ticket. What do you have to say for that?" And he goes, and he takes a bite of the microphone.
Augustus Gloop, same some room for later.
And then when he falls it, he's like, "No, don't. Stop."
Yeah, right.
Oh, great. It's just so funny. It's even better for adults, I think, than it is for kids.
Especially if you're really high on gummies.
I haven't watched it like that. Oh, I'm not going to lie. I did, like, when I was, like, in high school, we used to play the soundtrack and drive around and eat candy.
And smoke reefer?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was a blast. That's what I did in high school, you know? All right, so anyway, Radio Tinder, singer Kelly Clarkson and NFL legend Peyton Manning will bring a new flavor to NBC's upcoming Paris Olympic coverage this summer. Clarkson and Manning will join Mike Tirico to host the opening ceremony, the network announced last night. So the ceremony's live coverage will begin on July 26th on NBC and Peacock. And they both said they're very honored for this opportunity. And even though it may be a little out of Peyton Manning's comfort zone, he said that he's excited to learn all about the Olympics and he's studying up. So, how do you guys feel? Instead of having you swipe, how do you feel about this trio of Kelly Clarkson, Peyton Manning, and Mike Tirico hosting the opening Olympic ceremonies?
I'm good with it. I mean, Peyton has shown incredible versatility. I mean, he hosts that Monday Night Football show with his brother on ESPN2. He's hosted Saturday Night Live. And Kelly Clarkson is an entertainer and a talk show host these days. So, you know, and Tirico's obviously, you know, one of the premier sports hosts in America. So I actually think it'll be a good combination. And Tirico used to call a bunch of games when Peyton was playing. So I'm sure they even have a relationship for sure. So
I like it, too. I mean, I think when you think Mike Tirico nowadays, you think major sporting events. So whether that is a Sunday night football game or now because he's with NBC, he's the lead guy, Olympics, Mike Tirico says big time sporting event. Okay, so there's the first part of it. Then you put together Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson. Let me ask you something. doesn't that just scream All-American, right? I mean, Peyton Manning, America's favorite quarterback, you know, most likable guy there is out there, right? He's just wearing khakis and a sweater, and he's got on an Oxford shirt, and he's just as All-American as can be. And Kelly Clarkson, she sings, she talks on TV, she's likable, she's relatable. I think it's a great combination. I think it'll work out pretty well.
It's like they tried to find somebody from, like, you know, the different demographics. Like, oh, we got, like, the guys, the sports guys.
Well, a lot of women watch the Olympics.
Right.
More women watch the Olympics than probably any other sporting event in regards to, you know, if you look at just the total number, right? So I think because of that, I always think it's smart, to Cap's point, to have someone that's relatable. And I'm sure she's a big sports fan. So, like, you know, I think it'll be kind of cool to have her on the set with Tirico and Peyton.
Yeah, I think it's good. It'll be cool. Interesting. See something new. All right, so next one. 3 years after his resignation from the Las Vegas Raiders, Coach John Gruden is back in football. He has been retained as an advisor by the Milano Seamen of the European League of Football.
The what?
The Milano Seamen.
The Seamen?
Yep, that's right.
S-E-A-M-E-N.
The Seamen.
Right, but don't you think that that's pronounced Seamen?
That's what I said, the Seamen.
No, you said Seamen.
I said Seamen.
Right, you said Seamen.
Cap, don't
start. That's what you said.
The Seamen, it's one word.
Seamen.
Anyway.
They're men of the sea.
You're right, they are. And now John Gruden is a man of the sea. And they expect him to improve their organization in every aspect. And they said he's already started to work out with the coaching staff.
Of course,
you know, it's been a couple of years since he's been in the NFL. Out since 2021, when he resigned from the Raiders job after several controversial and derogatory emails that became public. Mm-hmm. Do you think that John Gruden will ever, ever be employed by an NFL team again? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
I'm going to swipe left and say no. I think that John Gruden, when he left ESPN and went back to the Raiders, I think that he was nowhere near as successful as what the Raiders were hoping for. And then, you know, you throw in all the controversy to go with it. I just don't think that any NFL team is going to look at John Gruden and say, you know what, he's the answer to our issues. Now, look, you may say to me, you're wrong. I mean, take a look. Take a look at Sean Payton. He left football. He went to the broadcast booth. He came back, and the Denver Broncos think he's the answer man. I just think that Sean Payton, even with some marks on his resume, you know, the whole, what was that called, George, that scandal where they were putting a bounty gate, you know, even with that, I just don't think that that anybody's going to look at John Gruden and go, oh, yeah, we're ready to deal with that guy. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm with you. Swipe left. I mean, Gruden is never going to coach in the NFL again. It's pretty simple.
But even, like, maybe not as a coach, do you think, like, in any way, shape, or form, in any role, nothing, he's done,
no.
He's blackballed forever?
I mean,
forever?
He ripped the commissioner, like, you know what I mean? Like,
you don't
as Roger Goodell's alive.
Yeah, you don't mess with Raj.
You know, I mean, a lot of the stuff that was said in there was, you know, awful. Like, let's start with that. But even if they got past that, because people have gotten past saying awful things about other people before, he ripped the guy who's in charge of the league. Like, I think that... you know, that
well, focus
that's not
on
gonna
that.
Happen, you know,
focus like on that for one quick second, because just remember, of all the things that were being, you know, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of emails. The one guy who got canceled in all of it was Gruden. So why did he get canceled when there were thousands and thousands of emails and we didn't ever get to see what else was in those emails? Why do you suppose that was? Maybe because of what you're talking about right now.
Because he's part of the Seamen.
No. Now he's currently now part of the Seamen.
I know, but
he was not part of the Seamen back then. No,
what?
He was a Raider back then. Now he's a Seaman.
All right. So next one, last one here. Frontier Airlines is now offering passengers a so-called upgrade to not have someone seated next to them in the middle row. The new quote Upfront Plus feature allows people to buy out the middle seat and avoid, you know, those weird armrest arguments or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's not like paying for an entire extra ticket. Passengers can pay $49 for two guaranteed armrests, extra legroom, and to be the first flyers to disembark the plane. Would you guys ever spend...
Wait, disembark the plane first?
Disembark.
Yeah,
disembark
I don't know how they plan on doing this, but they say that they're going to allow people in, you know, the first two.
That seems like it's going to be pretty tough to pull off.
Disembark.
Right. It said that they're going to have the ability to exit the plane first. I don't know how they plan on wrangling people, because you always have those idiots who get up right away and, like, shove their way to the front.
I don't see a lot of idiots shoving their way to the front, but I've seen people stand
up. Not in first class. They don't have those idiots.
No, but everybody stands up pretty much, or at least the people on the outside who sit on the aisle generally get up to get their bags.
I do.
And then they stand there and they wait.
Yep, I'm first. I'm first up. Bing, bing. I take my seatbelt off and I'm standing.
Not me.
Well, do you sit in the aisle?
No, I sit. Yeah. Oh, yes, I do. I sit in the aisle.
Right, but Lindsay, I'm asking Lindsay.
Sometimes.
Where do you sit mostly?
More recently in the aisle, yes, but I wait just because, you know, like, I'm not going to just stand there and get
squished. Well, but I think that
people.
The people in the seats next to you are hoping you get up, so then they can then have
I'm not saying I just stand there, sit there the whole time. I wait until, you know, maybe there's like two rows in front of me, then I stand up.
Didn't mind getting up.
Can you get up, please?
I just find it annoying when people, like, in the back of the plane stand up as soon as the door opens. I just think it's
like, how about this? I mean, sometimes people are just tired of sitting and they want to stretch their legs.
Yeah, stretching my ass is killing me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, would you guys pay $50 to not have somebody in the seat next to you? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
Probably. I'm going to swipe left and say probably not.
Yeah, you're too cheap.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something right now. It's pissing me off.
Okay.
So the other day I had to book some flights because I'm taking my daughter on a college tour during her spring break.
Cappy can't do that. He doesn't know how to book the flights, remember?
That's true. But
you have the issues.
Let me tell you what happened. So I booked the flight, and let's say the airline ticket from LAX to Denver was, I'm just going to say, $300, okay? Do you know that after I book the flight, then I go in to pick my seat, now I got to pay for my seat. There was not one seat on the plane where it's like, hey, you paid for your ticket.
What airline?
United. So let me get this straight. So the ticket costs $300, but then on top of the ticket, then I have to pay for my seat? What is that? Like, why isn't the seat part of the cost of the ticket?
They usually have seats, like certain, like a big chunk of the flight is already set up for you.
Well, with United, unless you are...
I don't fly them often. I did fly them today, though.
Yeah, if you have to be at least a United Silver member, which I am, in order to choose...
Then why didn't you just sign up for it? Silver's literally the first thing they give you.
I have a United Airlines... frequent flyer, whatever thing. And
well, then if you're at least the first tier, then you get to pick a Comfort Plus seat, which is like the first 20, like, I don't know, maybe 10 rows or something. If you aren't that, then you have to pay extra. Otherwise, you can choose your seat, but it's the back half of the plane.
All I know is I bought the plane ticket. I used the United app. I logged into the United app. It knows who I am. It knows how many miles I have. It knows how often I've been on United. It knows how many years I've had a United frequent flyer mile.
So what is your status?
I don't know. I have to go into it. The bottom line is this. When you buy a plane ticket for $300, that should include your seat. Now, if you want to upgrade, that's fine.
It does include your seat, is what I'm telling you. You just clicked one that's too close to the front. It's like the back half of the plane. You get to pick from all of those.
Yeah.
I think
she's right.
I am right. I fly in United all the time.
I don't think so.
I'll bet you. Okay.
All right. Next time,
you guys figure this out in the break before we get Blake Harris. How about that?
Balake coming up, huh?
Yeah, we'll talk some Dodgers with him. Our Dodgers insider, Balake Harris, will join us in just a moment.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I love that rejoin. We lost him back in 1955, the great Albert Einstein.
I heard you laughing at that.
I mean,
if you watch Oppenheimer, Albert Einstein's pretty popular these days.
Oh, really? I haven't seen the movie yet, and I probably won't see it, but I want to now that it's won all these awards. What does Einstein have to do with it?
He's in the movie.
A lot.
I don't know. Tell me.
Watch the movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the reason they were able to invent the atomic bomb was because of his theories. Like, he had a big part in.
Yeah, she's right.
Just watch it.
Just watch the movie.
We lost him back in 1955. The great Albert Einstein.
By the way, Radio Tinder earlier was brought to us by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere. Fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Cappy, Balake is there.
Okay.
And we need to talk Dodgers with him. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question about Yamamoto, Blake. And by the way, you can subscribe to Blake's Substack. He's doing the Lord's work there when it comes to the Dodgers. Go to substack.com, Blake Harris. You'll find him there. Inside the Ravine is the podcast. And
is he doing the Lord's work there or no?
Yeah. But I would say more of the Lord's work there.
Okay.
In the Substack than in the podcast.
Okay, got it.
He's not giving everything away in the podcast, you know? And then on Twitter, at Blake H. Harris. So Yamamoto, the good, he strikes out a lot of guys. He blows guys away. The bad, the ERA hasn't been great. Now, is that bad luck? Or is that something that should be should have some level of concern because he hasn't pitched in the majors before?
Yeah, or is that Arizona spring training?
It's a mixture of all the above. I mean, it's a mixture of spring training. It's a mixture of the guy that runs the box score just doesn't really like to hand out errors, because a lot of Yamamoto's earned runs have come courtesy of the Dodgers' horrific infield defense. I don't know how many earned runs he's allowed this spring. I wouldn't be surprised if 75 to 80% of them were because his infield didn't back him up and they just kept the inning going. So for Yamamoto, I'm not too concerned looking at that ERA. The stuff looks great. Obviously, he's been striking a lot of guys out. I think once his defense is able to do anything for him, he'll be just fine. And plus, you know, it's his first time, you know, ever pitching in the States. So a couple spring training starts, not really too concerned. We'll see how he looks next week when he goes against the Padres when the games start to count.
All right, so Blake, you mentioned the defense and the infield. And I think that if you're a Dodger fan going into this season, you're hoping that the pitching is great and that you're going to outscore teams with all of your hitting. But the defense, look, on paper, it's just it's a problem. I mean, Gavin Lux was terrible at short. They moved him to second. Mookie is not, I mean, he played a couple games last year at short, but we don't really know yet if he plays 150 games at short what he will be. Max Muncy at third, I mean, not exactly a world-class athlete. So how concerned are you about the Dodger infield?
Yeah, for a team that's the World Series favorite, you know, you wouldn't think they have any flaws, but their infield defense, as it looks right now, is kind of worrisome. Gavin Lux, he's going to be over at second base. We saw what he was like at short. It was not a good experiment. And so far at second base, he hasn't looked that much better. And then you got Max Muncy at third base. He's been horrific there the last couple of years. And Mookie Betts, although he's able to play shortstop, probably at an above-average level, you still don't want your $365 million guy playing his third-best position there full-time. If you guys remember a couple years ago when the Dodgers played the Padres in the NLDS, a lot of people forget that in Game 2, an error from Trey Turner at shortstop led to the Padres rallying and scoring a run or two, and that kind of flipped the momentum in the game, and that's what helped the Padres win that game. In October, defense matters. Now, obviously, we've got a long way to go, but when you have some question marks at three of your four infield positions, it's something that I'm sure the Dodgers are going to spend the next couple months really working on.
Blake Harris, our Dodger insider, joining us here. By the way, the madness is here. Be sure to spend the first official day of the tournament with the whole crew of 710 ESPN next Thursday, March 21st, an all-day live broadcast at Islands Restaurants in Manhattan Beach. 3200 North Sepulveda inside the Manhattan Village. It all starts at 10 a.m. with Travis and Sliwa, then Mason and Ireland, then us till 7. So come out and press the flesh. Watch all the hoops. Have your chance to win great prizes. 710 hits the South Bay next Thursday, thanks to Islands Restaurants, your local paradise.
Blake, you should come out. You should come on out and drink some beers.
Balake should come out too. Yeah.
I would, but I'm going to be in Vegas for the madness, guys. I'm going to be there for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So, good for you. Balake, what should the Dodgers then do at shortstop? What is your suggestion of what they do to then not have Mookie play his third best position?
I would do two things. The first would be I'd be calling the Brewers and seeing if they want to trade me Willy Adames. this is a guy that has been kind of linked to the Dodgers for the last couple of years. And according to The Athletic, the Dodgers are still interested. Defensively, he's one of the best in all of baseball. And offensively, he's the guy that will give you 25 to 30 home runs. So I think that should be priority number one. If the Brewers don't want to trade Willie Adames, I've gotten to the point now, I'm totally okay if Miguel Rojas becomes the everyday starting shortstop. We know defensively he's Gold Glove caliber, and with how deep this Dodgers lineup is, they can afford having his bat hitting ninth. I mean, for the most part as well, Gavin Lux I don't think is a massive upgrade, at least at the plate, compared to Miguel Rojas. So I think you swap the offense for the defense. You put Mookie Betts back over at second base, and then you give Gavin Lux maybe a start or two throughout the week. But I think if the Dodgers are serious about winning, you got to have Miguel Rojas as your starting shortstop.
See, but you already answered what my follow-up would have been, which is, okay, fine. You put Rojas at short, and then where do you put Mookie? Do you send him back to the outfield? But you say put him back at second base. And then what do you ultimately do with Gavin Lux?
Yeah, that's the thing. So with Mookie Betts, because he moved to second base to play a less taxing position than right field, and now you move him over to shortstop, which is the most taxing position outside of catcher. With Gavin Lux, I think at this point, until he can prove it on a consistent basis, he just has to be viewed as a depth piece. He needs to be viewed as a bench piece, kind of like a Kike Hernandez, a Chris Taylor. Guys are going to shuffle in the lineup a couple times a week. But what we've seen defensively from Gavin Lux, and again, offensively, we haven't really seen a whole lot. I just don't think he's proven that he's worthy of being an everyday guy. So have Mookie Betts at second, have Miguel Rojas at short, and then work matchups, lefties, righties, that kind of things. Get Gavin Lux in there a couple times a week. But yeah, if you're the Dodgers, they got a pretty big decision to make in regards to all of this stuff.
The Tyler Glasnow, I guess the news about him being the opening day starter, I guess shouldn't come as a big a shock. Yamamoto doesn't have a ton of MLB experience. He doesn't have any MLB experience other than spring training. Walker Buehler's not going to be available till May. Kershaw's not available till May. And Glasnow's been really good. So to me, I think some people were surprised initially, but the more you think about it, I mean, it's just the most obvious thing that they could do, right?
It really is easy to forget how good of a pitcher Glasnow is. It's just, he's always hurt. But when he's healthy, he is one of the top 5 to 10 pitchers in all of baseball. And yeah, this spring, he's been absolutely filthy. I think over his last two outings, he hasn't allowed a single hit in 8 1/3. I think he has 14, 15 strikeouts. So obviously spring training, don't want to read too much into it. But if Tyler Glasnow wins the Cy Young at the end of the year, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. He's that good of a pitcher when he's able to pitch, when he's not on the IL for a couple of months.
All right, man. Listen, I can't believe you're going to Vegas. You taking your wise guy uncle with you to Vegas or what?
Yeah, going with my wise guy uncle, his buddy, who they've been going to Vegas for March Madness for about 30 years. And it looks like my cousin's father-in-law will be joining as well. So you got me and three 60-year-olds running around Sin City causing absolute chaos.
I love it. Tell your uncle I said what's up. I love that guy.
That sounds like a movie.
Hey, you can tell him yourself, Cappy. He's listening right now.
Okay, what's his? I don't remember his name. What's uncle's name?
Uncle's name is Matt.
Uncle Matt?
Uncle Matt.
All right, love you, Uncle Matt. You're a good man. Appreciate you.
Uncle Matt. And enjoy Vegas, Palake. Thank you for stopping by as always. Again, he's doing the Lord's work, covering the Dodgers on his Substack, Blake Harris Substack. And then Inside the Ravine is the podcast. And follow him on Twitter at Blake H. Harris. Thanks, bud.
I appreciate you guys as always. Have a great weekend.
You too, bud. Palake. All right. You're listening to KSB in Los Angeles. Cappy, let's get into D'Angelo Russell and the McMiniman story and what Darvin Ham told me about said story.
Yeah, I want to hear
yesterday.
That.
Yeah, let's get into that coming up next.